Hi, Robert hier. Dieser Podcast wird euch präsentiert von der Hannover Messe. Wir sagen vielen herzlichen Dank an die Kollegen in Hannover und jetzt geht's los. Robotik in der Industrie. Der Podcast mit Helmut Schmidt und Robert Weber. Hallo liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, willkommen zu einer neuen Folge unseres Podcastes Robotik in der Industrie. Mein Name ist Robert Weber und in München zugeschaltet sitzt
Helmut Schmidt. Grüß euch.
Guten Morgen, Helmut. We are now switching the language and continue in English because we have a guest from Norway. Knut, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Before we get started, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners, Knut.
Okay, my name is Knut Sandven. I'm the CEO of Sonair. And we will talk more about Sonair on this podcast. My background is technical. I have an engineering degree from Norway and from MIT in Boston. And my life or my career has been first started in research at a research institute called SINTEF, very similar to Fraunhofer you have in Germany. And that took me into starting companies based on deep tech ideas from this research institute. So Sonair is my third startup, and all the companies have been within and are within sensor technology.
Okay, and how difficult is it to switch from research to be an entrepreneur?
I think I'm a much better entrepreneur than a researcher. I think I was always drawn into what can this become in a product, and I really have liked through my career and work with industrial companies, getting research out in real life and get it to work.
Okay. Knut, why do we need new sensor for robotics? Which applications are still unresolved from your point of view? That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I mean, the logistics robots, the AMRs, they're working quite good now. But there are other challenges. You have the new fields of robotics emerging, the humanoids as an example, where safety is not solved. So we will, for example? So I would say it's more improvements, getting things to work more smoothly, and also extremely important. I mean, robotics going forward is really driven by robotics working closely with people, and people not trained to work with robots, right? And that's a big difference. So the robots needs to account for unpredictable behavior from people and from environments, new environments. So it's really improving, adapting robotics for real life, so to say. So we are very focused on the field of safety sensors, so detecting especially people reliably. And as we see it, that's not solved today.
But Knut, if I see for cobots, for example, but also for AGVs and AMRs, all of them already have different kind of sensors on board, either 2D LiDAR, 3D LiDARs, or combination with vision. Of course, it's expensive, but how comes, and of course, ultrasonic is also a topic coming to be more and more popular. Why do we need, or what's the advantage on new technology, which is a 3D radar, especially if it's not, as soon as I know, not safety rated yet, which is, of course, very important in the robotics. I believe it's going to come, but how is the status there?
Yeah, okay. So what we are developing at Sonair is a 3D ultrasonic sensor. So it's a new category of depth sensors. I mean, we've had ultrasonic sensors for decades, mostly known to people from the parking sensors at our vehicles. What's new here is the 3D field of view, but also the ability to distinguish object and place them in a 3D space, so in a 3D coordinate system. The safety sensors being used on robots today are LiDARs, safety-rated LiDARs. They are in 2D. So what they see is a horizontal plane of the environment. So mounted on an AMR, they're typically mounted 20 centimeters above the floor. And what will they see? They will see the legs of a person. That's all they see, right? When robots are now being introduced into environments, as I mentioned, where you have unpredictable people and people of all sizes and with unpredictable behavior, you need to see the full body of a person. You need to see a person reaching out towards the robot. And also you need to see things hanging from the floor, objects sticking out from some shelves. There are lots of situations in a warehouse and in other environments where a 2D safety plane is not sufficient.
But it's already existing 3D safety LiDARs as well. So it's not only 3D. So if I look on most AGVs and AMRs already running using 3D LiDARs as well to get the point cloud to see exactly what you're just saying, 3D objects, but also maybe obstacles within a room. So it's existing, but...
So 3D LiDARs, I mean, they're great. They are not safety rated as far as I know. The 3D LiDARs are still expensive, very expensive. What we believe is the future of the sensor package is really, I would say, based on vision and cameras. What you can now do with simple cameras and AI learning on the images is impressive, really impressive, and it's moving extremely fast forward. What the cameras cannot do alone is to cover the safety function. So you need some complementary or different modality of sensing than the cameras. And for this, the 2D LiDARs are currently being used. We believe a 3D ultrasonic sensor is a much better match. It's easier to integrate, much smaller in size. It will not have, or it does not have, problems with the standard LiDAR problems. I mean, seeing glass, reflective surfaces is not a problem. All objects are detectable in the ultrasonic frequencies we are using. So it has several, let's call it, object detection advantages, but most important, it's 3D. So it has a full vertical and horizontal field of view, whereas the LiDARs has a single horizontal plane.
But is your goal to replace the LiDAR?
That's our goal, absolutely, to replace the safety LiDARs. LiDARs are also, in many cases, used for navigation. So they use the point cloud from the LiDARs to create a map used for navigation. So that's still a function embedded in some of the AMRs. So there's no reason not to use a LiDAR, but you can use a much simpler, cheaper, non-safety rated LiDAR. But my belief for where we're going is really that the cameras will handle navigation. So with VSLAM and vision-based navigation.
But what I see, maybe you can explain a little, is obstacle detection, and not only obstacle detection, it's about to differentiate between what's a pallet, what's a human, and most likely to pretend if the person is coming or moving. What I mean with this, if there's a pallet standing around, not moving, a LiDAR says, well, that's whatever, it's a obstacle. But he cannot detect if it's a human, or maybe it's a human laying on the ground, or, and of course, if he is in what kind of direction is he moving. Can you explain this a little bit better on the ultrasonic? Because I believe this could be quite interesting.
Absolutely.
Yes, but I'm not sure if I agree with you, because...
Ah, okay. Even better than challenges.
Yep. So my philosophy here is, let's use the sensors for what they're really good at. What's better than a camera to understand what you're looking at? We can, from the point cloud we generate from our 3D ultrasonic sensor, we can easily see if you're looking at a human or a pallet. And we can add functionality to tell the robot that, okay, you have a human in front of you, and also we can give the speed and the directional movement of the object. what the how we want to combine our sensor is with cameras, and we believe it's better to use the image processing technology from the vision system to understand what you're looking at. So use the depth from the 3D ultrasound sensor that's accurate, safety rated, or being safety rated, and combine that with the images you get from the cameras.
But my experience, and I challenge you, is I go to a customer, to an industrial client, introduce my product. One of the first questions will be, do you have a camera on board? Yes and no. And if you have a camera on board, what do I see everything else, and what is private and what's not private? So I'm not agreeing that technically it's a good solution, but the first obstacle or the first hurdle always is, do you have a camera on board and do we need a camera?
Yeah, I don't think that's an obstacle for industrial robots. My prediction, and I think a lot of people will agree with me, they will all have cameras. They will all use cameras to really get a good understanding of the environment. But you have robots in homes, for instance, we're working with a customer for robots for retail stores, grocery stores. You may not want to use cameras in those applications. And how you can then build your sensor package is with a 3D LiDAR. 3D LiDAR gives a very detailed point cloud, and you can add a safety layer with our 3D ultrasonic sensor. That's how we phrase it, as a safety layer. That's what we're offering.
And let's compare a little bit cost. So you mentioned the technical benefits, but if you compare now the cost from your approach to a LiDAR, what does it mean?
Yeah, the selling price for LiDARs are not completely open, so we don't have full insight there. But and LiDARs have been on the market for a very long time. We are now introducing our sensor. I don't think it's a well-kept secret, but our list price is $1,000 for a safety-rated 3D ultrasonic sensor.
Helmut, you are now also in this AMR business, right? Is it an option for you?
Absolutely, it would be a option. Pricing is maybe one, but I believe more it's about the way how to detect obstacles and to interpret what is going to happen with the obstacles. And of course, we're always looking on new technologies. Not forget about radar, because I also believe radar technology could be quite interesting, especially for AGVs and AMRs, but also no safety-rated radars are existing for the time being, and for drones, of course, as well. So new technologies always are important, and ultrasonic, and especially 3D, could be quite interesting, and also believe the combination with visions, but then of course, if I have combination of vision, then maybe the price advantage is gone.
Knut, are you totally focused on AMRs, or is there even also a different market?
We introduced our sensor as an evaluation kit end of last year. We've been testing now with around 20 pilot customers. They are in the AMR category, service robots, robot arms, and also humanoids. We are focused now, when we introduce our product version, on the AMRs and service robots. They have very similar sensor packages, the AMRs and service robots, and very similar challenges. So, and we simply focus on that or those categories because they are in volume. So potential to get some scale quickly.
Mm-hmm. Can you please share how to integrate your approach into an AMR system?
So we have two output streams from our sensor. One is the safety output, and that goes directly to the safety controller. So that's a stop signal. And then we have a point cloud output, and that's the output is in the ROS format. So
it's a ROS 2?
At least from the customers we have talked to so far, that's well accepted and easy to integrate.
What kind of customers are these companies? Is it you mentioned retail, or is it logistics, or what kind of customers?
They are, almost all of them are covered by NDAs, so I can't tell you the names, but okay. They are, what's official is we are very soon launching a cooperation with Fuji in Japan. They're building a robot for a retail store, for a grocery store. What's important for Fuji is to detect or safely see people full body. And they also need to drive the robot very close to people and also to the shelf in a retail store. So they need to go up close and they need to see, not bump into people. And that's kind of why they have chosen to design their sensor package with our 3D ultrasonic sensor as the core, really, of that sensor package. We are also working, or we just got a PO for the product version of our product from cleaning robots manufacturer. Can't reveal the name, but they have several models on the market. So our sensor is going into their next year model. So that's for the commercial product. And for piloting, we have spread more across the categories. So testing to get input on product market fit. So AMR companies, cleaning robots, also automotive, looking at, next-gen parking sensor, humanoids, as I mentioned, and also outdoors within the defense industry.
Oh, yeah. And what's about the field of cobots? I mean, you said cooperation is a topic.
Cobots, it's an old history. It's history.
Okay. Well, to get the industrial robots more without a safety fence or whatever.
So you have several ways to protect the robot arms from people. And LiDARs are normally used, or light curtains. Mounting a 3D ultrasonic sensor is very easy. It's very plug and play, and you get that full 3D field of view where you can define the stop zones or slow down zones or what you call it around the robot arm. So it's a good and easy way to protect a robot arm without, or to get rid of the fences, really. So it's an alternative to using light curtains and LiDARs. And we are testing in that field. And our strategy there is really to work through the machine safety or the industrial companies already heavily involved in that field. So we are partnering up some prominent players in that field.
So you're a European startup company in the field of robotics and in the field of, let's say, hardware products. How difficult is it to get funding for your company?
So I could talk a lot about this. It's and I don't want to complain, but it's
that sounds not very good.
This is my third startup, and my experience is to get the seed funding, to get started, to get the first years covered, and up to a prototype and the first sales, that's quite easy. You have lots of players there, and also domestic in Norway, and there are several in Germany. When you start scaling and before you have revenue, that's the difficult phase. It's too early for the typical venture capital companies, both in their typical ticket size and that you are, that product market fit is not completely proven yet. So, and that's exactly the phase we're in now. We are quite well funded. We have very good supporters as shareholders.
It's a venture capital money, or
it's it's venture capital seed investors, Norwegian ones, and they have also followed me in previous ventures. So we know each other quite well, they don't have the capabilities or resources to follow us in the next phases. So we will need to raise new rounds from European or US-based larger VC investors. So that's something we are constantly working on.
Knut, one question to make this maybe more easier. Turnover helps, as you just mentioned. What would you need or what you are looking for to ask the audience? Are these pilot customers? Are these additional OEMs to try the technology? Or if you would have a wish list, who should give you a call?
Oh, okay. Thank you. I would say we are through the first test phase now with pilot customers. We have customized the product now for AMRs and service robots, and it's ready to deploy in those type of robots. All new customers will need to go through a test phase to get used or acquainted with the technology and get the proof points they need. So, and we are ready to start testing with customers. So that's of course very welcome. We will need to get volumes on this sensor now to ramp up production and also get cost down. So this will be extremely exciting the next couple of years to see how fast especially the European robotics industry will try and test and adapt new technology. We believe we have a very strong offering, so it's really up to the OEMs and to test it out and see or verify that it holds what we promise. So we will of course welcome any robotics company interested to start testing with us.
My last question is, where do you produce your sensor?
We produce in Norway. So it's based on our core component is proprietary. That's where we started out. It's a what's called a MEMS component. It's a silicon-based micro-electromechanical system. So it's really the parking ultrasonic transducer shrunk down to a millimeter-sized transducer with approximately the same performance, and that enables what's called beamforming, which is a known technique from medical ultrasound and also other fields. So this is produced at a fab in Norway, silicon-based, and the rest of the production and assembly is normal electronic assembly process. So it's currently done in Norway, but it can really be set up anywhere.
Very cool. My last question would be, where to find you next time? I mean, there are two, I think, big fairs showing up in the US and in Germany. Are you there on any of these places or where potential clients can find you?
Yeah, we will be at Automate. That's already in a couple of weeks, I believe, in Detroit, where we will launch our product version of the sensor and have a demo and at a booth there. And we will be at Automatica end of June, that is, in Germany. So I will be there myself and really look forward to meet the European companies and especially my German friends in the robotic space and industrial space.
Knut, we are looking forward to meet you in June or at Automate. Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Knut, pleasure meeting you and all the best. See you at Automatica for sure.
Thank you so much. See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.